We live in a democracy where many choices are made for us. And we've been lulled into being fine with this democracy where things are done for us. So we're asleep at the wheel while people in City Hall, the state capitol, or Washington, D.C. decide for us. So with this 21st Century Activism News Hour, I'll highlight online groups that can keep you informed about issues you care about and then can act upon by simply sending an email. I'll also share sources of news from both the corporate and independent media that deserve to be known. I don't want future shows to be such a one-sided conversation, however. If you know of online activist groups or great sources for news, please feel free to email me. My email address here at the station is marquis@killradio.org. That's M-A-R-Q-U-I-S, as in Marquis de Sade, @killradio.org. You can also connect with me via this show's MySpace page, which is myspace.com/marquis_KR. Again, that's myspace.com/MARQUIS_KR. And if you need any of this information again, I am firing up the instant messenger right now here at Kill Radio Station. We use AOL Instant Messenger handle Kill Radio Station. That's all one word, Kill Radio Station. So today we'll be looking at a few current activist campaigns. We'll hear a segment from an interview that I listened to as a podcast recently. And for those of us in Los Angeles, there's a play in town called The Gift of Peace. It's an original play about creating the Department of Peace and Nonviolence, this legislation that is currently in Congress that could change the world. We'll be speaking to one of the play's actresses. So have your browser fired up. I'll be giving out web addresses today, so be ready. Our democracy is waiting. Okay, this first issue came to me from the Natural Resources Defense Council. It is an environmental action group that is supported by over 1 million members and activists. And the email I got, I actually got this today. And, and these you can subscribe to. So, and I'll give you that information a little bit. But it's basically saying that there's one day to save Yellowstone from more snowmobiles. And the email I received says, the Bush administration wants to triple the number of noisy, polluting snowmobiles roaring through America's oldest national park. But we have a narrow window of opportunity right now to speak out against this dangerous proposal, which ignores warnings from the Park Service experts and puts Yellowstone's wildlife, visitors, and staff at risk. Four consecutive National Park Service studies have shown that only a complete ban on snowmobiles in Yellowstone can adequately protect the park's natural values and safeguard the health of visitors and staff. Yet the Bush administration recently proposed increasing the average number of snowmobiles in Yellowstone from 250 to 720 per day. Seven former National Park Service directors have signed a letter urging Interior Secretary Dirk Kempthorne to reject this scheme. The administration should instead ban snowmobiles while expanding the use of environmentally friendly snow coaches, which are quieter, less polluting, and offer breathtaking panoramic views of the park. So it gives a link here, but let me give you the link to the Natural Resources Defense Council, which is also known as NRDC. Their main page that they use for action is www.savebiogems.org. And that's save, S-A-V-E, bio, B-I-O, gems, G-E-M-S.org. And when you go there, actually, let me give you a different address because I think this will be easier for new people. One sec, let me just check this out. Okay, here's the easy way to go. Go to nrdc.org, click on Issues, and then you'll see a link that says Take Action. And there's a number of items there. Quite a few, actually. And it's funny, now I'm not seeing the one that I just got today. Maybe it hasn't been updated on the website. But not only is it about banning snowmobiles from Yellowstone, but also has actions that you can take part in regarding the Bush administration to halt its dangerous nuclear energy plan, to urge Congress to help bring clean drinking water to the world's neediest children. And for those of you in California, there's a link about to speak out to protect historic Allensworth State Park. I don't know where that is, but I guess you'll find out when you read that. So there's a lot here. What's great about all of this is you can subscribe and you'll get the email and then, in a sense, choose the ones you wish to act upon. Now, if you're like me, you'll pretty much act upon all of them unless you're overwhelmed for some reason. But again, this is the one I gave. If you want to, just go to it directly. Let me give you the address. It's a long address, but it's pretty easy to understand if I share it. It's www.savebiogems.org/Yellowstone/take action. So savebiogems.org/Yellowstone/take action. That's the one specifically about snowmobiles being banned from Yellowstone National Park. Actually, you know what? Am I reading that correctly? If it's Yellowstone, it's probably not. It is Yellowstone, but it's not probably banning. It's probably just not allowing them to increase the number more than, gosh, double. Yeah, that's how it is. So I invite you to check out more. If environmental issues are important to you, this is a way to see another of what the current administration is doing. This is stuff that isn't oftentimes shared in our current news, whether it be a corporate-owned newspaper or even the independent news. But this is another way you can find about issues that are important to you. Again, it's nrdc.org. And in their Action Center, they have a number of items that you can take part in. So NRDC.org, that's the Natural Resources Defense Council. You can learn more about them, learn more about what they're doing. They've been very active for a long time. I've been receiving their emails for a while now. And not just on only certain parts of the environment, but on every part. Everything from global warming, oil and energy, air, oceans, water, wildlands, wildlife, health, environmental justice, U.S. law and policy, nuclear weapons, waste and energy, smart growth, international issues, etc. So I invite you to check that out. Underneath, this is Eduardo Cruz with the song Ni Tu Ni Yo. There's not much left, but let me get the next one up and ready, and we'll be back. You're listening to 21st Century Activism News Hour with me, DJ Markey. Welcome back. We're going to go now to the Electronic Frontier Foundation. It's a group, if you are interested in what's been going on with the NSA's illegal spying, or if you ever read about programs called Echelon, or anything to do with the FCC, the Electronic Frontier Foundation is on the forefront of that in terms of media and technology, in terms of use of technology. So their motto is defending freedom in the digital world. And there's an article in it today, which is something that I find quite important. It says, Senate panel rejects dangerous spying bill, demands details of NSA program. And this was actually published June 1st. The Senate Intelligence Committee has affirmatively stated that it will not consider the Bush administration's dangerous FISA modernization surveillance legislation until critical details about the NSA spying program are revealed. noting that the administration's refusal to satisfy these documents requests, these document requests span over a year. The Intelligence Committee demanded the president's orders authorizing the warrantless surveillance and the Department of Justice's opinions on the legality of the program. As you may recall, we at the Electronic Frontier Foundation were concerned last month that the administration's proposal could slip into the Senate's intelligence budget authorization. The authorization bill and the committee's report were made public yesterday, and we're pleased to see that it chose to not legislate in the dark about the still shadowy surveillance program. So thanks to everyone who took the time to call the Senate Intelligence Committee and oppose the spying bill. Tell the administration, let me rephrase that, the administration isn't about to back down though, and it's critical that Congress keeps pushing back and moves forward with vigorous investigations into the program. Take action now to help stop the illegal spying. So the Electronic Frontier Foundation, their address is easy to remember and write down. It's just EFF.org. That's www.e as in electronic, F as in Frank, F as in Frank, .org. And if you go to their homepage, right there you'll see a kind of a banner. It looks more like a bumper sticker in a sense. It says Stop Illegal Spying, and underneath it it says Senate Panel Demands Details of NSA Program. If you click on that image, Stop Illegal Spying, it'll take you to the article that I just shared with you. And it'll also links to past articles of this process of how this whole thing came about and the EFF's actions with it. And then you'll see at the very end, take action now to stop the illegal spying. That is actually a link. You can click on that and you can read it again. You can read more info about it. And then just by putting in your address, city, state, and zip code, looks like what they will do is they'll determine if your senator is on this committee and find their phone numbers for you. So this isn't an email one. This is a call for calling. So let me look in. I'm just going to put in my information and see what comes up and see if any of my people are on here. My people. So yeah, it looks like Senator Dianne Feinstein, one of my senators, not my favorite one, I'll be quick to tell you that. She's one of the reasons I'm not a Democrat anymore, thank you very much, but that's just going too much information, isn't it? Anyway, so it looks like I qualified, I get to make the call, and it gives me the phone number, and even gives me the script on what to say and how to say it. It looks really quiet, and I've done this before. Whenever you call under a congressperson's office, they have people there specifically to answer and log these calls about these issues. So they probably have a graph already and they just check it off. They write my information and connect it to it. And that way they can gauge what issues are gaining traction with their constituents. So for example, the script here is, hello, I'm a constituent. I want to urge my senator to reject the FISA modernization proposal drafted by the Director of National Intelligence and the Department of Justice. I oppose the NSA's domestic spying program and demand immediate investigations to help stop this unprecedented violation of Americans' rights and the Constitution. I also oppose any attempt to grant immunity to companies or individuals that help the program. Now, by this point, chances are the person answering the phone has heard someone say this before. So just say it quick and easy. Get it over with. They're going to ask for your name and address. May not be address, but they're going to want to know like what city you're in and just to identify what area so they know what part, like in this case, California, a very large state that I'm calling from. So why don't we go to music? I'm going to call Dianne Feinstein's office right now and tell her what I think about this. And since we are nonprofit and non-commercial here at killradio.org, I'm not going to use our phones here. since it would be a long-distance phone call to Washington, I'm going to use my cell phone. So let's go to music. We're underneath, we're listening to Thomas Schumacher. This is a song called Kick School 79. You're listening to 21st Century Activism News Hour with me, DJ Markey. Yeah, hi. My name's Mark Caldwell. I'm a constituent calling from Los Angeles. And I was calling because I wanted to urge Senator Feinstein to reject the FISA modernization proposal that was drafted by the Director of National Intelligence and the Department of Justice. Is there anything more you want to know? Yeah, it's 90033. Thank you. Bye. Oh my God, could you hear my voice kind of getting all nervous and tight and stuff? I was trying to hold my cell phone to my ear, hold my mic to it, and I always get nervous because I don't know why I get nervous, I guess. And I just knew I didn't have to say all that stuff. She heard it all. And so I go, do you need more information? I knew what she knew I was going to talk about. She was going to log it. So that was pretty simple and painless. I did have to wait and hold for a while, and there was this automatic message of Dianne Feinstein's office, like, saying, now, all our agents, all our people are busy right now, so if you'd like to hold, you can. But the thing with this system is it'll bump you off after 2 minutes of being on hold. So you might want to call back in 2 minutes or 15 minutes or hold for two. Anyway, it was just, she was so down home about it. She probably doesn't know how to work the system herself. She has people do it for her. Okay. So moving on. This is a website that Planned Parenthood uses. It's called SaveRoe.com, as in Save Roe versus Wade. And just kind of a little bit about it, Planned Parenthood is a visible and forceful advocate for reproductive rights and reproductive health issues wherever public policy is deliberated and formed, in Congress and in state houses, in the courts, in the media. Planned Parenthood has a long history of fighting to protect and expand reproductive rights and access to reproductive health care for individuals worldwide. SaveRoe.com is an integral tool in Planned Parenthood's efforts to win the battle to protect reproductive freedom. SaveRoe.com provides visitors with the latest information on policies impacting women's health and reproductive rights and urges activists to speak out on these critical issues. The SaveRoe.com online action center has all the tools pro-choice activists need to make their voices heard. By providing the tools to send letters to the editor or take action on legislative issues, SaveRoe.com mobilizes people who are committed to defending and increasing access to birth control, abortion, and sex education. So, under their issues, they have a lot of information about access to birth control, abortion access, court watch, sex education, international and state policies. And let's look, see what they have in their campaigns. The top one under campaigns is a link called South Dakota, which at the last election banned abortion in the state of South Dakota. So there's links here to a number of different things regarding this issue. There's actually a MySpace page for South Dakota women. I guess they're South Dakota pro-choice women. So if you're a MySpace user, which I hope you are, you can go to that link. It's Become Friends with South Dakota Women. There's also a photo position that they're doing. The link is Stand Up for South Dakota Women. And it has information there. It looks like people are uploading photos about the issue. And there's some other things there too. So if that's interest, one that I found interesting here that I didn't even know about, and this is where this kind of stuff you find about news you may not find out in normal or independent news, traditional corporate news or independent news, is the department store Target. And it turns out all of my lovable indie friends, progressive friends, we all love Target. We hate Walmart. We think it's evil. And we all love Target. And yet, it says here, Target does not guarantee that all prescriptions for birth control, including emergency contraception, will be filled in store without discrimination or delay. And I guess this is an issue that happened almost 2 years ago. This was September of 2005. A pharmacist at Target in Missouri refused to fill a woman's prescription for emergency contraception. Part of this incident, Target ignored three letters sent by Planned Parenthood in an attempt to determine its pharmacist refusal policy. But once confronted with more than 95,000 letters from our supporters outraged by this refusal in Missouri, Target made its public policy, its policy public, and the news wasn't good. Looks like Target does not guarantee that all prescriptions for birth control, including emergency contraception, will be filled in store without discrimination or delay. And there's a lot of information about this. There's an area where you can take some action. I'm wondering where this issue is standing now, because it is almost 2 years. So I have to just caution that who knows where it's going to, how that's going to be, or where this situation is at now. Excuse me. So let me get the next issue ready again. This is SaveRoe.com. It's the Planned Parenthood Action kind of website for Planned Parenthood. So if reproductive rights, sex education rights, et cetera, are important to you, I encourage you to go to SaveRoe.com and check out their online action issues that you can participate in. Okay, actually, I got stumbled because I just found out some updated information about Target. This was published April 10th of this year, so about 2 months ago. Last week, we celebrated after receiving word that Walmart changed its policy on emergency contraception. But there are still major pharmacy chains that continue to threaten women's health when it comes to access to emergency contraception. And now, Freshmart Walmart Victory, we're zeroing in on the biggest holdout. It's time to target. The first step is to gather more evidence, the same fact-based approach that works so well in convincing Walmart to act. And we need your help. Be part of this next key stage of our Pill Patrol campaign. Visit Target stores in your community to check on the availability of emergency contraception. Make no mistake about it. We've just won a huge victory for women's health and for Planned Parenthood's campaign for accessible birth control. Now Walmart joins other women-friendly pharmacy chains like CVS, Eckerd's, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Kmart, all of which have agreed to do the right thing on access to emergency contraception. But our work won't be done until Target and other pharmacy chains adopt policies that protect women's health. So please, again, just go to SaveRow.com, click on campaigns, you click Target, you'll see, and it comes up, and click on take. Actually, no, that's not where I saw it. I'm sorry. I saw it on another blog. Their blog, is the top three recent. It's April 10th, 2007. It says Target. So why don't we go to music while I get the next issue ready? Everyone seems to know this song. This is Peter Bjorn and John with the song Young Folks. As if you haven't heard enough already, but I can't get sick of it. So you're listening to Save. You're listening to 21st Century Activism News Hour with me, DJ Markey. We'll be back. Okie doke. So this next group is a website called workingforchange.com. And the interesting thing about Working for Change is it's actually a website under the progressive cell phone and long distance phone company Working Assets. I remember when I first moved out, I switched my long distance over to Working Assets, and what they do is they give good rates, but they also donate, I can't remember the magic number, but a percentage of your bill to progressive groups like Planned Parenthood or the Electronic Frontier Foundation, etc. So it's always been known, it's been around a long time. When cell phones started becoming more and more popular, they got in the act, and they also offer a cell phone program. I believe what they do is they rent Sprint's phone service, but you go through them. And then what's really great is this website they have, Working for Change.com. They have a lot of issues on here, so it's almost like you could really look at stuff that you like and really pick it out. So what oftentimes happens if you start subscribing to these groups, you'll get emails regarding the same issue. So what you want to do is just, this is my, I guess, unlearned advice. You get one that's about an issue you'd already sent in on, but it's from a different source, send it in anyways. Because who knows if it's going to the same receiver, etc. So let's look at on the featured action here on workingforchange.com. It says, tell Congress, save our Constitution. Habeas corpus is the bedrock of all modern systems of justice. Indefinite imprisonment without judicial review is unconstitutional and fundamentally un-American. And for whatever reason, it's still loading as I clicked on it, thinking I would just time out perfectly. Come on, this is Ethernet. We have a high-speed DSL connection here. Hello. Okay, well, while I'm waiting for it to click over, I'll tell you what else they have on their homepage. There's a link that, under National Actions, there's a link, Don't Let AT&T Ruin the Internet. Tell the House, pass strong lobbying reform now. Impeach Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. Tell Congress, impeach Dick Cheney. Congress, only you can authorize war on Iran. So I think we'll just stop there. It's still not loading. Maybe I've done something wrong. I doubt it. But what I'd like to do is share with you an interview I heard. I don't know if you listened to on NPR, the show Fresh Air. It's hosted by Terry Gross. And there was an interview with, oh, and I'm spacing on her name right now, but she's a journalist that has been in Iraq a number of times. And this is a long interview. It's great, but this is just one short part, and I thought it was interesting what it says about the media and the media's relationship to the White House regarding Iraq. Here it is.
From my last trip. And he actually, he knows I go. He asks me about the trips. He's pretty respectful of it. And he also knows I know what's going on there. And I think it is an advantage for me because they know I know. I feel like I can ask better questions at some of the briefings, but here's the problem. It doesn't mean you get better answers. And I think the press corps in general is getting far more aggressive about saying, wait a minute, that's not really what's happening. I mean, I remember the day that they came out and glowingly said they're going to start all these provincial reconstruction teams around the country and they're going to double the size, and asking, well, wait a minute, they can't even staff the ones they've got. They're not working. You've got a few people. You've got some unqualified people. The military is filling all the bills because you can't get civilians from the State Department to go over there. How on earth are you going to double the size? And it was just sort of, oh, we are. I mean, I know. I've been there. I've seen it. It is actually disturbing to me. When I first started covering the White House and I first started hearing this, I thought, this is difficult. This is really difficult because I know what's going on. Now, I've also listened for years and through years of Rumsfeld saying it was the media's fault and we're not reporting the good news. I mean, the truth is, we're there. We are covering that story because the U.S. military is still there after 4 years and because it is still not under control. I mean, I heard General Casey say in one of his last hearings, Americans would not be safe if they were 50%.
Okay, I didn't cue that up as good as I'd like to, but my point is, I've been listening to these podcasts from the show Fresh Air on NPR. You'll want to check your local NPR station, hear it live, or go to their website. Fresh Air is from their radio station WHYY. I want to say they're in Philadelphia. But here is a source of news from, albeit progressive, liberal even, but traditional kind of corporate media, even though it's public radio. Public radio seems to have changed a lot lately in terms of corporations getting involved with it, sponsoring it much more, Walmart kind of. And so what's interesting, though, is here again is a show Fresh Air, and I don't know if you got the gist of that interview. It's much more juicier than even that, but it was a segment that I thought I could easily share. And I've learned so much about Italy's involvement in pushing through information that led to the war that the U.S. had in Iraq. They were really kind of wanting to get on the good side of George Bush during that time, and all that led up to that. Also, information that's been revealed regarding the assassination of President Kennedy. So she, Terry Gross, and also there's another gentleman who I believe works for the New York Times who subs for her oftentimes, interviewed a lot of different people from all different walks of life. There was actually a great interview with Alice Cooper recently, but that has nothing to do with the show. But I just invite you to look at that as a source of news that you can listen to find out more deeply about issues that the mainstream media, television media especially, doesn't have the luxury to be able to cover so deeply that something like a show like Fresh Air can. So I'm going to see if I can get the actress Alicia Evans on the phone now. She's an actress in the show The Gift of Peace. It's an original play. Let me just read it real quick. The Voices of America, The Discovery of Peace, The Belief in a Dream, A Call to a Different Type of Arms, a heartfelt series of monologues that inform and educate about the Department of Peace and Nonviolence legislation currently in Congress that could change the world. It's going to be performed this Friday and Saturday at the Science of Mind Center of Hollywood. And I'll give you the address and everything in a little bit. But let me get her on the phone. Their website for the show is thegiftofpeace.org. Again, the show is called The Gift of Peace. It's informing and educating about the Department of Peace and Nonviolence legislation currently in Congress. Thegiftofpeace.org. We'll be back. Need to understand. One sec. Oh, that's not good. Let's see it this way. Oh, it's always here. Okay, let's try that.
I learned the truth at 17. Their love was meant for beauty queens. In high school, girls with clear skin.
Okay, Lisa, are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Great. I'm sorry about that. I had trouble, getting you on here because I was getting some feedback. But see, you know, we're all volunteers here. We're doing the best we can. So I figured out the problem. So I'm speaking to Alicia Evans. You're an actress in the play that's performing right now this upcoming weekend in Hollywood. It's called The Gift of Peace.
Right.
And it's an original play. So I read them from the postcard, the basic info about it. Do you want to add to that, like what your part is and what it's really about? I guess let's start off with this. Let's talk about this legislation about the Department of Peace and Nonviolence.
Dennis Kucinich introduced the legislation before the House of Representatives in February of this year.
Uh-huh.
And he had previously introduced it in 2004 and 2001. And you find out in the play that it's actually the idea of creating a Department of Peace or having a Secretary of Peace has been around since basically George Washington's time. And we just feel like, you know, now is the right time, but most Americans aren't aware of it.
Right.
You know, there's no money in peace.
There's no oil in peace.
Yeah, so it's not like, you know, the issues that go before the Congress people are usually pushed through by corporate lobbyists.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's so interesting about it is, you know, you and I would consider ourselves peace-loving people, and I should add that I've known you for a long time. We've known each other since high school, so not only are you an actress in this play, but you're, you know, a dear friend of mine. But what's interesting is when I first heard about this, and I heard it, I think, from him when he first mentioned it via the news media, and people just scoffed, and I kind of scoffed too. And I guess I was surprised by how that was a revolutionary idea, rebellious even.
Yeah.
And it took a shift in my own kind of understanding to look at life in a much different way. So what was it like for you, like, when you first found out about the play itself, you know, auditioning for it and now performing it? It must have been quite a change for you.
Yeah, it was. When I first heard about the idea, I was like, oh, my God, that's brilliant. You know, why hasn't anybody thought of this before? But I didn't know that it had been thought of before. But it's very easy to become cynical and just be like, well, you know, we have a Secretary of State. That's what they're supposed to handle. But when I was called to audition, I was told that, you know, we're going to go across the country and do 8 cities in 8 days, basically, if I
wow.
get cast. And the last performance was going to be in Washington, D.C. And if we wanted to stay in Washington, D.C., we could lobby our congressmen and stuff, congresspeople. And at first I thought, well, I'm not going to get paid. Do I really want to leave town for a week? And I was a little bit hesitant. And then I went on the website, and
the website is, I said it already, but it's thegiftofpeace.org.
Yeah, thegiftofpeace.org. And on thegiftofpeace.org, they have the actual bill, a link for the actual bill. And so I went on and I read the bill. And the more I read, the more I thought, you know, this is really something that I believe in and something that I could get behind.
Great.
And it's really exciting as an actor to be able to do something that touches people, you know.
Yeah.
Not
well, especially on this level where it's bigger than the emotional or psychological pathos that oftentimes we see in theater or TV or film. This is something much more greater than that, even.
Yeah, it's such a big cause, and I really wanted to be a part of it.
So how have you changed from the time you auditioned to having performed it around the country in Washington, D.C., and then I know you've performed it out here in California as well. How have you changed, do you see, yourself?
Well, I've definitely gotten more involved in the cause. In my district, every district has a volunteer that's the district leader. And in my district, there was no district leader. And when I was in Washington, D.C., a couple of the Peace Alliance district leaders kind of encouraged me to become the district leader.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hesitant, but eventually I did. I am the district leader now in my district.
Great.
And it's interesting because it's really exciting and groundbreaking to think, oh, gosh, you can really make an impact. And all of us as Americans can make an impact. And
right.
We can write our Congress people. We can send them postcards. We can call them. We can, you know.
Well, just like what this show's about, I told you yesterday, this is about online groups, various different kinds, everything from Planned Parenthood to the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and other groups that make it easy to email your congressperson or email decision makers, you know, in the different departments of the government about these issues.
Right.
And it's issues we don't find out about in normal news.
Yeah, we don't, and I don't know why this isn't really getting any press. Except, like I said before, there's no money in peace, or I don't know.
Well, it shows the sad, primitive state, perhaps, of our culture right now, that a Department of Peace and Nonviolence is a revolutionary idea.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if I would define myself as Christian in the traditional sense, but gosh, I would think this is what Christ would be about if he was walking around right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Sure. And the great thing about it is it's proactive, you know, because as a society, we spend so much, billions of dollars on the aftermath of violence.
Right.
And we don't really spend anything on preventing violence.
Right. Or you know, not even just preventing, just promoting peace.
Yeah, it's insane. And this bill would, it would be domestic and international. So it's not just international, but it's also domestic.
Yeah.
Domestic. Working on dismantling gang psychology, working with abused women's shelters. Like, yeah, those things already exist, but this would be on a national level. It would tie all the organizations together.
Great.
And we'd have federal funding.
Good.
You know.
Now, what's the part that you play?
Well, the play is a bunch of monologues that mm-hmm. are a cross-section of different Americans and how the legislation would affect them. And I play two roles. I play an office worker who gets a forwarded email about the bill,
mm-hmm.
and who's kind of, you know, your basic American is kind of just self-absorbed a bit.
So you were typecast,
And so I play the office worker, and she's more of like a lighthearted piece. It's kind of like, yeah, you know, this is interesting, and I could get behind this. And then I also play a history student who's really grown up with a strong belief in America and almost very idealistic. As you know, sometimes when you're in college, you're very idealistic.
Mm-hmm.
And she finds out the truth about America, about, you know, what she was taught in the history books is not really the reality. And that character, I name a lot of facts. I list a lot of facts that basically involve children all around the world and how many children are dying as a result of war. And
wow.
How many, you know, every day in this country we have a Columbine. I mean, 16 children die a day.
Right.
From a gunshot wound in this country.
Wow.
You know, it's sporadic. It's all over the country. It's, you know, it might be because of gang violence, but it's like, that's
but still, right, that we're okay with it somehow,
yeah.
I guess by doing nothing.
Yeah.
We're indirectly okay with it.
Uh-huh.
So, wow. And I guess, lastly, you're performing at the Science of Mind Center of Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
I have their address here as 7677 Sunset Boulevard, Hollywood. Obviously, that's California.
Mm-hmm.
Where in Hollywood is that?
It's...
Like, do you know the cross streets?
Yeah, it's a few blocks west of Gardner. And
okay.
A couple blocks east of Fairfax.
Oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah, it's near, uh-huh. I don't know if people know where the Harmony Gold Theater is or Samuel French. It's very
right.
Close.
Well, if you're an actress, of course you would know those places.
Very close to those businesses.
The Old American Burger's across the street, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Good. And I guess tickets are available at the door. And if they want more information about these shows, they can go to thegiftofpeace.org.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it says there's a number for reservations. Are there actually reservations?
Yeah, there is.
Are those necessary?
Not really.
Because is this a big place?
Yeah, it's a huge house. And so it's not like we're going to sell out probably.
Okay.
We haven't sold out. But so yeah, reservations aren't really necessary. But you can buy tickets at the door. It's a suggested donation of $15, or for students and seniors, $8.
Great.
But it is a donation, so if you can't afford it, just, you know, pay what you can afford.
Good. Okay, good.
Okay, cool.
Well, I want to thank you so much for letting me find out more about this play. I'm going to actually see it probably on Saturday.
All right.
I'll have to... introduce myself to you afterwards after the show and say, hi, my name is Mark. I interviewed you on 21st Century Activism News Hour.
You already said that we were good friends.
Oh,
right?
Darn it, I forgot.
Drop the act.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna wrap up the show now. So I want to thank you again so much, Elisa, for sharing with us about this this Gift of Peace play, and I'm looking forward to seeing it on Saturday.
Wonderful.
All
thank
right.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Oh, what's so fun about being in a nonprofit is dealing with equipment issues that you wouldn't have to deal with normally, like feedback. And so what I had to do is there's no way I could have – I don't have a phone system where I can wear headphones and have the phone up to my ear. I still had to talk in my microphone, and I still wanted music playing underneath. So I apologize for the feedback we're hearing. I figured it out what the issue was. Next time it'll be easier. So again, this play it's an original play. It was written by Stacy Martino, directed by Valentino Ferreria. It's The Gift of Peace, an original play. I guess there's actually some videos of it on YouTube that you can check out. And also the website again is thegiftofpeace.org. that about wraps us up for today. I want to thank you so much for listening to my debut show of the 21st Century Activism News Hour with me, DJ Marquis. If you have any questions, you can always email me at marquis@killradio.org. That's M-A-R-Q-U-I-S @killradio.org. You can also get more information at some point from my MySpace page. I'm just still in the process of building it now. I want to put all these links that I did today up there from these groups. So those will be there. But the MySpace page is myspace.com/marquis_KR. That's MARQUIS_KR. Again, myspace.com/marquis_KR. The show webcasts every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific time on killradio.org. Not only do we find out about issues that are happening and ways we become involved, but we get to listen to a lot of great music that I just throw together. So this is a band from London called Scanners. They were featured on a show that's coming up next, Hear Hear. Hear Hear is all submissions all the time. Bands submit, they play it. It's hosted by DJs Mark Caldwell and John Hirschfield. I'm actually Mark Caldwell, but I will be back then. So thank you so much for listening. Coming up next is Hear Hear on killradio.org.
Underneath your spell, in the softest sun.